Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, he covers the LSU Fighting Tigers, and I hope he didn't get as many texts as I did about 2 hours ago. But we have with us Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Glenn, we talked about it earlier in this show, so give us your version of what you heard happened in practice today and from everybody who covers camp on an everyday basis. Looks as though this is not what at first was put out to be a major knee injury suffered by Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah, it sounds like he just went down at practice today and was able to kind of walk off under his own power. Of course, whenever the starting quarterback of your team goes down, there's going to be some initial concern there. But from everything I've heard is that he's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You know, I don't have this confirmed or anything, but wouldn't be surprised if LSU decides to hold him out for a practice or two just to be extra cautious with him. But sounds like he's okay, and, you know, you avoided a scare today. But, yeah, man, the rumor mill just really takes off at this time of the year when something like that happens, for sure.
And, Glenn, we see it, and I told this to Charlie, it's not just in sports. We see it in weather. Oh, my God. Somebody sent me something yesterday about a major hurricane in the Gulf in, like, August 12th. I was like, where are you getting this? And he showed me the site. It's one of, I guess maybe like 100 different deals of it. I was like, okay, I get it. But we see it in their politics, you name it. There's a little bit of truth to it. But, you know, the wretches stretched the rubber band a little bit on plenty of things. But we have some good people that cover the Tigers on an everyday basis like yourself and able to give us the right information. One guy I want to ask you about, and I don't think we've talked about him, Jelani Watkins. I know one thing, he's fast. I can't tell you if he can play ball or not. So maybe give us a little bit of insights. I've had a couple of different people, friends of mine, ask me about Watkins. And I tell them, hey, I know he's fast. I can't tell you anything else. I haven't seen him on a football field.
Yeah, he's extremely fast. And I think he's got a very bright future in track if that's ultimately the route that he wants to go. But in the meantime, he is still out there on the football field. You know, he's been mainly getting second and third team reps with the wide receiver group. He's been out there participating every day, though, and he's been returning some punts, returning some kickoffs as well. So, you know, he's somebody that I don't think will play above Barry and Brown or Xavion Thomas in the return game, but certainly has that electric speed and potential if he were to be called upon in a special teams role. This wide receiver room is so deep. I think this is probably going to be another year of development for Jelani. Injuries happen, and, you know, his name could certainly be called upon, and that's not to say that he won't really develop here over the next couple months either and kind of push himself into a role with this team. But right now, I see guys like Barry and Brown, Xavion Thomas, Chris Hilton, Nick Anderson, Kyle Parker, that kind of core group there as the main guys that LSU's focused on at wide receiver right now.
Glenn, I had a good friend of mine who, he loves LSU. Sometimes I wonder if it's LSU first, then family, faith, whatever. It's one of those type of deals, but you get the drift. You got people around you like that too. But he asked me about Bernard Gooden. He said, how come we didn't hear anything about him in the spring? I said, one of the reasons is he wasn't here. He was a late transfer to LSU from South Florida, undersized defensive tackle, and I saw he was listed at 6'2 at South Florida, which I know he ain't 6'2. I think LSU's listed him at 6'1. I'm not sure he's 6'1. But, man, is he quick off the snap. I saw some, you know, tape of him, the way he comes off the ball, and he is hands-reliant. And what I mean by that is, man, he gets his hands on you, and he's up the field in a flash. And he has been a guy that's really been a standout early on for LSU at a critical position in the middle of that defensive line.
Yeah, he's been flat-out phenomenal. I think if maybe there's an MVP of the defense through six practices, you'd be hard-pressed not to give it to Bernard Gooden just in how quickly he's fit in to the system here. You mentioned just how quick he is off the ball. He comes in with, you know, after a season where he had 10 tackles for loss, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if through six practices he hasn't already had 10 tackles for loss. I mean, he's been that aggressive in the backfield and getting consistent pressure and you know, breaking in and getting some big tackles on running backs and things of that nature. I mean, he pairs really well with Dominic McKinley. He pairs really well with Ahmad Bro or you know, Jacoby and Guillory, really whoever you want to throw out there next to him. I think he'll be able to have an impact on this defense. And he's been really good so far for LSU. And this was kind of expected. You know, we were curious what LSU might want to address in that spring portal window. Defensive line and safety were two of the big ones. And they went out there and they got the number three safety and A.J. Halsey in the transfer portal rankings. And Bernard Gooden's a top five defensive tackle in the transfer portal as well. So they you know, killed two birds there with two stones and did a really nice job of bringing in some veteran talent that I think both of those guys are going to slide in and play early and play often for LSU this year.
You know, Glenn, I saw your article earlier today about LSU's offensive line and the defensive line, and everything that we've been hearing from reporters at practice is that the defensive line has been the buzz from camp and that they've looked awesome. They've dominated practice sessions, but also you kind of want it to be more of a 50-50 thing where, because LSU's defensive line is dominating, you're kind of concerned about LSU's offensive line. So I want to get your kind of take on it and have you share it with our audience about, you know, the LSU's offensive line, how they're kind of developing. And then you talked about, obviously, Gooden on the interior alongside someone like Dominic McKinley, but also the edge rushers. I just asked Pete Jenkins about it, a completely new look edge room and how that unit's kind of coming along too.
Yeah, it's a balance for sure, because you don't want to, you know, say for sure that LSU's defensive line is this elite, or you don't want to say for sure that this offensive line is going to be that poor early in the season. I just think it's going to be a situation where this offensive line has to really kind of develop some chemistry here over the next couple weeks, playing together in full pads. Like I've been out there watching individual drills one-on-one with the offensive line and the defensive line. And then the offensive line, in particular, the kind of the first five, six, seven, eight guys are capable of winning one-on-one matchups with their, you know, defensive line counterparts. I think it's just when they shift over to that five-on-five where it's their five against the defensive line's four or five, that's where they're having some trouble. And that signals to me that it's still a brand new group. I mean, you've got guys like Josh Thompson and Braylon Moore who are veteran players, but are really being thrust into this first five for the first time this fall, next to DJ Chester, with Tyree Adams and Weston Davis, who are two first-year starting tackles on either side. So I think it's just going to take some time for the offensive line to come together. I'm not hitting the panic button yet on those guys, but there does need to be some improvement there. And then, you know, with your edge rusher question, I mean, that has been the group that really since the spring has kind of stood out to me. I mean, Jack Pyburn has come in and made an instant impact. Patrick Payton, the Florida State transfer, has really ramped up his pressure off the edge here. And then Gabriel Relaford is another guy, second-year player. He's really transformed his body from even this time a year ago and has been consistently getting into the backfield and creating havoc. And that group is really going to be, I think, at the forefront of what LSU hopes to accomplish. I mean, when you're a defense like the one that Blake Baker wants to have, you've got to create pressure at all levels, and that opens things up for guys like Wick Weeks and Wes Weeks in the, you know, second level of the defense, and it makes, you know, the secondary have a lot of playmaking opportunities at cornerback and safety. So that defensive line is going to set the tone, I think, for this defense, and so far those edge rushers have been a really strong impact group for LSU in fall camp.
Glenn, last question for you, and I guess we'll get it, that if something would happen with Garrett, and I'm not talking about situational play, I think Juwan Johnson may well be kind of LSU's version of Taysom Hill, and different style player altogether, but the fact that he can play quarterback, running back, wide receiver, he certainly brings a lot of versatility to the table. But wouldn't Michael Van Buren be the guy here if something would happen with Garrett?
I think so. You know, he's a guy that has eight games of SEC experience last year as a true freshman on a really tough Mississippi State season that they had last year. And
yes.
So maybe you kind of, you know, learn and develop through some bad wounds there. But look, if LSU does not have a healthy Garrett Nussmeier, you really have to temper your expectations on what this season's going to be for LSU. But it sounds like he's going to be okay. If you had to give me a choice, though, between the two of Van Buren and Colin Hurley as a guy that would potentially back Nussmeier up if he ever were to get injured, I would probably lean towards Van Buren.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Always enjoy your insights, buddy, and thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Glenn.
All righty. Glenn West does a great job covering the LSU Tigers, and he may be a little bit different from Blake in the fact Blake thinks he might be back on the field come Friday. Glenn's feeling is that maybe Garrett Nussmeier, maybe they might hold him out just precautionary for a couple days, and he'll be back in the lineup practicing for the LSU Tigers.